Hello, everybody. Welcome to the side panel. I am your host, AJ. You may have noticed a little change in the title. I've decided to go ahead and just drop my name from the title. The side panel seems to be enough of a little descriptor of what it is. Just a podcast on the side of the main podcast, the panel cast, as well as being a little side project for myself. So there you have it, the side panel. This episode, I'm going to try not to yawn as much, but I hold no guarantees, or offer no guarantees, because I'm starting to yawn even now as we talk. I don't know what it is. I'm just a yawning person. Or am I saying Laurel? Anyway, so in this episode, I wanted to discuss another idea I had come across. This idea was inspired by the movie Outland. I'm not sure if any of you have seen this movie. It's fairly old, because I'm old. So it was about Sean Connery, and he is, I don't remember exactly if he was a sheriff or if he was a co-worker or just some dude that got tired of and fed up of stupid shit, but he is on a space station, along with a whole bunch of other people on a space station. And the space station is kind of like a way station in where, you know, there's a bar and all that stuff happening, and people are in and out all the time. And something happens, and Sean Connery starts to investigate it. I think it was either a murder or just a crime in general. And Sean Connery is going to go check it out. And this is all happening in space, so it's obviously in the future. And I just remember how iconic and how ingenious it was that you have this sci-fi environment where, you know, you're out in space. There's even space fighting, not spaceships or anything, but, you know, like just drama in space. And the fact that you're in space is downplayed by this crime that's going on and by this main character being Sean Connery trying to figure out what's happening and to save his own ass. So, you know, the whole sci-fi in space aspect of it is just downplayed. It's just background noise, kind of like The Walking Dead, you know, where there's zombies there, sure, but who cares? That's not as important as all of the character-driven stories and drama that's happening currently. So zombies are kind of like the background. So that's what always kind of got me with this movie, in that space and science fiction and all this other stuff that you really should be like fascinated and fixed on is nothing. It's just background noise to the main story, which is happening in the forefront. And I thought that was genius, and I wanted to do something along the same lines. So I had the idea of doing it, but taking it in a different direction, literally, where this takes place in the ocean. So we have like these little dome-like structures all over along the bottom of the ocean floor. And you have like, you know, cities and mineries and just the way the world nowadays is that it's all underwater. And I never wanted to go too in detail as to why we're all underwater, except to say maybe allude to some sort of, you know, being above ground is a bad idea or it's just a no-no or what have you. And so you gotta imagine, like, there's all these little dome-like structures throughout the ocean floor, and then within those domes contain, you know, humans and cities and blocks and homes and buildings and businesses and just everyday what have you is going on down there. And so I wanted it to take place in this one neighborhood, if you will, where, I mean, okay, so to establish the universe, you know, we're all underwater, we're on the ocean floor. So you're going to see, you know, like lots of fish and whales and undersea creatures and all that stuff just floating around. The domes themselves are not physical structures, more as that they're energy structures. So if you remember back to episode 5 of the side panel, where I discussed the prison island full of criminals, and you have this electric dome over the island that, you know, would cause people to lose their abilities or what have you. So much to that same type thing, where there's an electric dome surrounding these cities and neighborhoods underwater, and it keeps the water at bay, but it also is able to reflect the time of day and weather that is happening up on the topside, if there is, you know, a habitable topside or not. In that, you know, it will reflect and make, you know, like blue skies and clouds and sun and the moon and nighttime and all that, just so that everybody's circadian rhythm, you know, keeps with it, even though you're underwater. And it also would allow you to, would project enough UV rays and lunar rays and whatnot, and the type of, I don't want to say radiation like it's a bad thing, but, you know, the normal types of radiation that we're exposed to on a daily basis, which allows us, our serotonin levels to remain how they are, and you know, just allows our skin and our bodies to continue to be healthy. And so that is what projected in these electric domes on the inside. Again, daylight, you get your UV rays, and at night, you don't, you know. Or you do, but, you know, however it works that way. I didn't really want to get too into the science of it. I just wanted it to be background noise. But one of the reasons why the domes are energy-based as opposed to a physical hard dome is because I wanted it to be able to expand with the city's growth. So every time, you know, you gain more population, or, I mean, everywhere you got these little, they're all mining communities, okay? And so we're all mining for this ore on the undersea floor, different types of ore and what have you, to help us survive and help us build and construct the buildings and everything that we're living in, and to allow us to continue living on a normal basis, like regular people living above ground. So you have, you know, mining facilities in every little sub pocket, every little city. And so there's always a chance that, you know, you need to grow or you need to move or what have you. So I wanted these energy domes to be able to, A, expand with the city's population or the city's growth itself without having to build a new dome over the new dome, or have the city be restricted by the physicality, the physical restrictions and border lines presented by these domes. And I also wanted a possibility of mobility. Some of the smaller cities and smaller mining communities would be able to, if they run the well dry, the mine dry, you know, they can decide to move their community to a different location and then sit down and begin mining that area. And much easier to do with energy-based structures than physical-based structures. And I also wanted it to be where, you know, we were so far underwater and so deep down that worrying about getting the bends and decompression and any of that stuff weren't a problem or weren't a concern, because A, we never traveled up to the surface, and B, we were deep enough down that we were able to travel around without, you know, we could swim around under the water without having to worry about decompressing or anything like that, or worried about rising so fast that we're going to get the bends or decompress and just explode. I wanted to get rid of all of that problem. So, you know, we had moon pools, we have, you know, we had man-made lakes, some of that stuff, and the lakes were full of water that were from, you know, the water outside. They were just part of, like, the tapestry, the aesthetic, if you will. So anyway, you have all this stuff going on. And inside the city, it's just life as usual. You know, people have jobs, people have homes, kids are playing, all that stuff. And So I wanted in this one particular mining community a murder to happen. And it was just a very heinous, monstrous murder, and in such a way that it's not something that would be portrayed in this community or hasn't been portrayed in this community in a very long time. If you've ever read the comic book Whiteout or seen the movie, you see kind of something like that, where an isolated community experiences its first murder and one person has to solve that crime amidst, you know, a massive snowstorm in the Antarctica. And so I kind of wanted to base the same thing here, but everything underwater. And, you know, I just wanted either one gritty detective or, you know, two. And they wouldn't really be detectives. They'd be like sheriffs. And it's much like your random, you know, middle of nowhere type of sheriff who's just like, you know, the worst he does is corral some drunk people at the bar. You know what I mean? So when something like this happens, he's scared, he's concerned, he finally has to pull his gun out, which he's never done. That gun has stayed locked up at the sheriff's station the whole time. You know, his partner, who's young and also inexperienced, just taking the job because it's kickback, lax, easy job, you know, much like home ec in high school. And all of a sudden this happens and they have to seriously get down and be cops. And so I wanted this story to go and get, like, really gritty and investigate a lot of the people's lives that are out there, the different type of people you would see in such a community like this. You know, you get your standard drunk people, you got your standard hardworking people, your atypical people. But in an environment like this, you don't see a lot of homelessness, you don't see a lot of crime, and you don't see a lot of vagrancy or anything like that. Because everybody here, you're here because you're being taken care of, because you understand that you have no other choice. And so you work and you do your job and you coexist and you love and you find love and you enjoy life, and you're here. And so this one crime just disrupts all of that. And so this guy, not only do they have to investigate their community, but they have to travel to other communities as well. There's investigation into the mine stuff. There's a deep sea underwater chase. You know, there's sea monsters. There's all this stuff. And I thought it would be really awesome, but still, in a way, downplaying the locale and upplaying the crime and what they had to do to solve it and who they had to become to put themselves in the mind frame of such a heinous killer. So in order to find them, this is what they have to do and who they have to be. And so that's what I wanted the story to be about, you know, and I thought it would be kind of cool. Just the visuals alone, a lot of beautiful artwork, you know, oceanic artwork and scenery and all that stuff going on. And then, like, just the detailing of the cities and the towns and the mining and just all of that. And I wanted to show a community that supported its miners. You see a lot of, like, coal mining and whatnot communities, you know, guys come out of the ground and they're just beat down, broken, dirty. They're afraid that they're going to die every minute, and then they all flock to the bar. It's just, you know, those are stereotypical mining communities, and I wanted this one to be supportive of the people that work there, you know, because they understand that mining this ore is what's keeping them alive and what's keeping society and the human race in itself alive. So you just see a supportive type of environment in that, which makes it even more heinous and horrendous that this crime has happened, and why everybody's so shocked and scared, and there's just a lot of fear and paranoia happening because this has happened in their perfect community. So anyway, there you have it. I wasn't able to come up with a name. I thought it was gonna be something cheesy, like, you know, the depth of the crime or something like that, you know. Really bad. and punny, but I just never got around to writing it. I'm still looking for an artist to want to be involved so that maybe someday I'll be motivated to write the story. And in the meantime, if you guys have any ideas you want to add to it, if you guys have, if this has inspired you to maybe write your own story based on that, or if you want to go ahead and just use my story and write it, please knock yourself out, have fun with it, let me know that's happening, and maybe give me a little love in the credits, you know, and post. Let me know what your thoughts are. I know a couple of people have talked to me that they want to really draw some images from some of the ideas that I presented. So if you're so inclined, please do so and post it up here. I'd like to see what any of this, if at all, has influenced you to do. So just check out ForbiddenPanel.com, check out the panel cast, and we'll see you guys here on the next episode. Take care.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.